Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kings, depending on your vernacular. You know what? I'm going to start this podcast up a little different. I'm going to jump off into some Green Bay Packers slander and Dan Orlovsky slander. We're just going to jump off into that.
I had to clap him today. I had to.
I did too.
I had to clap him today, man.
You clapped him and I clapped. You got double clapped.
He got double clapped.
Triple clapped.
Double clapped. Like, man, everybody on the timeline was like, but we had to get him. We had to.
Bro, how can you be so biased, bro? Like, Jordan Love has been playing like, what do you say, hot dog water?
Yeah, for real.
He's three touchdowns, four interceptions, less than 60% passing completion percentage, not even a 70% quarterback rating. And he should have had way more interceptions. He was throwing ducks.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Ducks. And Dan Orlovsky said, he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to clap him with that one. I said, yeah. I was like, yeah, he reminds you of exactly how about yourself, huh? Or the exact tweet was like, yeah, he reminds you exactly of yourself, don't he? Because he's been looking like shit. And yeah, he's been playing quite well. What the fuck are you watching? What are you looking at? Like, what are you looking at? Like, what? I just seen him force a fucking ball in a triple coverage. And that shit got walked back the other way. Are you serious?
He threw that one ball in the dirt, bro. Trey Lance did the same thing.
My God.
Ball in the dirt, dude.
It was awful. It was legit awful. Like, what the hell is going on, man? Seriously. Like, wow.
It's bad.
It was real bad. That ain't the word.
What Jordan Love has thrown the most interceptions, right?
Yes.
In the preseason?
Yes.
Yeah, he has four.
Yeah. Yes. Four. Against second and third stringers and motherfuckers who are going to be doing drywall.
Right.
For a living.
PE teachers. Right.
Drywall. Right. Straight up.
And that's the thing is, and then you see it, it's so obvious. You see Jordan Love play, you know, like trash. And then you see Justin Fields playing look competent. And then the narrative and what they say is completely different. It's not – like, stay consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stay consistent. There's no consistency. They just contradict themselves over and over. You see it. You're like, this dude ain't playing well. Why the hell is – dude, I quote tweeted him with the damn – with the Princess Bride. You keep saying that word. I do not think you know what it means.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, by the way, bro. That shit is funny.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
You know, so you know, we just gotta stay on these guys. We gotta stay consistent on these guys. But also, I had to say that. I want my man Dan to respond to friend of the show, mm-hmm. King Matt, mm-hmm. from the BGR.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad Guy Radio on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, yeah. He gave me smoke, man.
Uh-oh.
It came from nowhere, you know what I mean? I'm just like, and first of all, I'm going to get this out of the way. This ain't no beef.
Ain't no beef.
But we got to address, I got to address certain things, you know, that need to be addressed. And we do it, you know, hands on with this, right? We take it face for, you know, for what it is. You know, and I'm looking in, you know, listen to his podcast. They have a podcast that they got at the BGR. And I don't know if it was Black and White or which one it was, but
no
it was one
flogging.
Of them. No flogging. That's what it is. So shout out to them for the No Flogging podcast. We listen to it. You know what I'm saying? We tune in. They handle their business over there. but you were so far off base on what you wanted to supposedly hand me smoke out for. You know what I'm saying? And let me break this down for you. Let me count the ways that you was wrong and what you were saying on that podcast. Now, I'm going to address the first thing. And the first thing I'm going to address is I had a problem with what you did, right? You came and you had this crusade that you began talking about Bears fans were too positive in their viewpoints on the Bears, on the outlook on the season and the future and the things that are happening. Now, let me be honest with you. You know, when it comes to that, I'm just going to be real. We moved the needle on Bears Twitter, and that's not being braggadocious. That's not pumping our, you know what I mean, tooting our horns and things like that. But it's just a fact. We have the ear of a lot of people, right? And we appreciate everybody that listens to us. And it's cool. We love it. We love it. We love the interaction that we have with people and things like that. And we were pushing positivity about Justin Fields himself, right? What you don't understand is that we're more included in Bears Twitter. You're more along the lines of White Sox Twitter. And I get that. You're a baseball dude. Now, you know what I mean? I don't claim to know everything that goes on in baseball land. So for you to venture over into football land and act like you want to know everything that's going on over here, to me, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then when you start calling people out about being positive, I'm sitting there and it had me confused because, you know, we push some positivity about what we see with Justin Fields, how he can throw the ball, how he can move in the pocket, how he can do these things, and how he's, you know, getting better as we think about it. We also push optimism for not only Justin Fields, but Ryan Poles and the decisions that he's made, because you can see what's going on with the team. Now, I'm a person that doesn't believe in, you know, placing, you know, the predictions on how the season's going to go, wins and losses and things like that, because most of the time, who's right about it anyway? You know, and in football, so many things can go right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So when you have a crusade that you go on against Bears fans having optimism for the future, it had me confused because, you know, man, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? And the reason we're pushing optimism is because Justin Fields, Ryan Poles, we deal with it on a daily basis. These dudes get so much hate from Dan Orlovsky, from the national media, from the local media. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? They
Mike
get
Marks.
So much hate, Mike Marks. You know, we get the names and the guys that we can name.
Colin Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd. I mean, we addressed three of them last week.
Louis Riddick.
So, you know, when we're pushing the positivity on that, we're looking at it. We're looking at everything. If you allow these narratives be pushed about Poles and about Fields, the Bears fans will eat that up, and then they'll turn on these guys, even though they're making the right decisions and doing things the right way. So that's my issue with what you had to say when it comes to that. That's where I stand on that. I just didn't understand it. It had me a little bit confused on that situation. And it just didn't make sense, quite frankly. So, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, where's this coming from? Where's this, you know, where's the negativity coming from? And my thing is, what do you want people to be negative about the squad? I mean, we haven't played a game yet, right?
Outside of preseason, yeah.
Nobody's played a game yet. So what are we talking about here? I'm not understanding what we're talking about. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So just be negative for the sake of being negative is what you're asking me to do. You know, I'm not sure exactly how that smoke was supposedly for me. To me, it just didn't make sense. And what you said on your podcast, I've said over and over and over. For example, number one, I'm not a fan of that win-loss prediction. I said that earlier. I'm not a fan of it. But we're buying into what Flus is preaching. And what I'm saying about being productive or on the football field, what I'm saying, what you need to look for on the football field, I should say, is do you see guys buying in? Do you see hats going to the ball? Do you see this? Do you see that happening? Do you see things differently from how they were happening last year? That's how I gauge success of this team. So to sit here and say that we're blind or you know, that we just overly optimistic, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, I've been saying for years and giving examples of how black quarterbacks are expected to do more with less, right? I've done that for years. I gave you examples of how Cam Newton only had Greg Olsen. I give you examples of how Lamar Jackson right now to this day has only had Mark Andrews, Michael Vick, who only had Algie Crumpler. Justin has less talent than his young white counterparts right now. And all I'm saying is that we need to give him the same leeway, the same amount of time that we gave Mitch Trubisky. You know what I mean? And not only that, but they need to be surrounding him with the talent. You look at Justin Herbert. He's got two 1,000-yard Pro Bowl receivers. He got a defense that features Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. You got Derwin James on that defense as well. You got Burrow, who went to the Super Bowl with Cincinnati, has three receivers that caught for over 800 yards last year. You got a running back who's a beast in Joe Mixon. You got Josh Allen, who was given wide receivers and tight ends and a tremendous defense for his whole career so far. And not only that, but he was also gifted Stephon Diggs. So all these guys have more talent around them, but we want to expect Justin Fields to produce at that similar level. It's not realistic, and I'm not a fan of that. So what you're saying, I've already said. It's like you listened to the podcast, and then you came back and regurgitated what I said, but tried to hand out smoke at the same time, and it don't make sense. It just didn't add up. It don't make sense. I'm confused by it, but it is what it is, man. I'm not gonna dredge it up too long, but that's what it is, you know. And like I said, it ain't no beef, man, but we address things right away. It just didn't make sense, man. I'm confused. I'm still confused.
But just to go to show, we are listening.
Oh, yeah, we listen.
Showing support.
We listen. We listen. We show support for everybody, you know?
Yes, sir. We got number love. But, yeah, over here, we've said that. And what we've said all offseason was that we saw with the Bears, because the Bears had to clean house, right? Poles had to clean house. We had the most dead cap in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think we have about $13 million in cap, right? But the way the cap works is that you need to have a little bit of cap for maintenance. Guys go down, guys get hurt. Somebody becomes available that you didn't think was going to become available. When we signed Josh Sitton, he just became available. You had to give him a decent contract. So right. You have to have room for that. Poles already said he's not done with this roster. So that's why he left a little bit of cap space to see who's going to get cut, who's the surprise cut, who's the veteran that's just going to get released. Because they got the young guy, but this guy he may not be good for them, but he may be good for us. He kept that cap space. We don't have a ton of it, and we have a lot of holes to fill. Yeah. Next year's the year when the Bears are going to have optimum cap space. And I think I pointed out to him, not to put it on the timeline, if you look at the Bears' defense, a lot of their main positions are filled. They filled it via the draft, like Brisker and Gordon, or they filled it during free agency on key positions like Justin Jones and et cetera like that. So the only thing they really have to spend the money on in 2023 is the offense. Because you look at the offense isn't – they're not completely devoid of talent because you have three young guys in Mooney, Komet, and Montgomery. But that's not enough to contend. That's right. Not enough to contend.
Right.
You hope Valus Jones becomes Deebo Samuel light or somewhat of the type of player, even if he's not that player. And it took a while to get Deebo to be Deebo.
Right.
Deebo wasn't – his routes in his rookie year are not the same the way he's running them now.
And what it seems like to me, King Mack, what it seems like to me is that the Bears are not contenders for a Super Bowl, so fans should not be optimistic at all. That's what it sounds like you're preaching and you're pushing. And to me, that doesn't make sense. You get excited for the future. You get excited what you can see happening going forward and things like that. Look, I'll give you an example. Kansas City, we talk about how teams are constructed and what they're doing, putting and you know guys around people. Kansas City had a bunch of people walk away. Tyrann Mathieu left, so did Tariq Hill. Several guys left. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes was getting paid a lot of money.
He's
now, the first few years of Patrick Mahomes' career, he's on a rookie deal. You can be surrounded with a ton of talent at that point in time. This is the blueprint, right? This is the blueprint for what teams should be doing at this point in time. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes has all this talent, a track squad around him, Travis Kelce, a good defense, you know what I mean? Playmakers on defense, on the defensive side of the ball, all of that type of stuff. He has all of that. Now, when Patrick Mahomes is getting $50 million a year, now that money dries up. You don't have a lot of money to spend. This ain't baseball. to where there's it's no cap. This is a salary cap league, right? So now that money has to be divided up between all these players, and now we don't have money to pay Tyreek. So Tyreek walks out the door, and that's the blueprint, right? Patrick Mahomes even said in his Super Bowl run, I didn't even know how to read defense. I was working with what ran, you know, what coach was giving me, and I'm following his direction. So he's being taught all that time. Now, at this point in time, when guys start leaving, now he's able to make people better. Now mm-hmm. he should be able to make people better because he's learned the game. He's learned how to play the quarterback position. Same thing with Justin Fields. Put some talent around him. Let these guys be good. And then once they're able to, once he gets paid, now you want to make let him cook and make things with less, right? Another thing, and I ain't trying to be long-winded, but the NFL is different. Like I said before, there are 10 teams in this league, 10 squads in the last 10 years that have gone from worst to first in the league. Absolutely. In their own division.
Absolutely.
10 of them in 10 years. We've seen runs that you know, the New York Giants went on, where the New York Giants went as a wild card squad all the way to the Super Bowl and beat who? The undefeated, mm-hmm. mighty New England Patriots.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as the positivity from Bears fans, do I blame them for that? Absolutely not. Anything can happen in the football league.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm good with it as long as you don't put undue or unrealistic expectations on Justin Fields. You see what I'm saying? I'm fine with the positivity. Let's be positive. Let's move forward in that way. And that's not a loser mentality or anything of that nature. That's just looking at it for what it is. Anything can happen in this league. And there's many guys on this roster that have talent and ability. This is another thing that we pride ourselves on with the three kings. And this is why I took exception to some of what you said. When you say it's a blind or it's optimistic view, it ain't no blind optimistic view, right? We break down tape. We study film, right? I know what Velus Jones has done. I know what he can do possibly in our system. I know what Equanimeous St. Brown did in college. I've seen that tape. I know it, right? So I've seen him do it on the collegiate level. Now it's time for him to do it on the NFL level. He has his opportunity. It's up to him to seize that opportunity and take it and move forward with it. If he can't do it, then he can't do it. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm optimistic that he possibly can because I've seen it in action. I've seen it happen.
We heard nothing but good things about EQ.
We're not just talking. We're not just optimistic. It's not no blind optimism here, man. So where that came from, I don't know, bro. But I'm going to get off that right now, man. I don't want to take up too much time.
Well, I wanted to piggyback on that and just state that, again, if there's ever a league, again, that you can go from worst to first, it's the NFL.
Absolutely.
And we wasn't even the worst last year. Think about how many games we had in our grasp that we let slip away. Okay? Let's backtrack that for a moment. Both Minnesota games we had in our grasp, we let slip away.
Right.
We only had 6 wins last season, but two of those games against Minnesota we both had in our grasp, we let slip away. The San Francisco 49ers game we had in our grasp, we let slip away. Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh Steelers game we had in our grasp, we let slip away. That's 10 wins, folks. 10.
I mean, to be honest, at some point during those Packer games, it looked like it was tilting in our favor.
Absolutely. And we had that too. It's just the fact that, you know, both times we played the Packers, you know, young QB. You know, yeah. What I'm saying? Rookie QB. So I don't get where, you know, it's all doom and gloom. Like I said, I see us competing for a wild card spot. And then if we get into the wild card, if we get into the playoffs, all bets are off. We'll probably be one of the teams that people do not want to play because we are going to be physical on defense. We're going to run the football and we're going to cut the game down. Thus cutting down your possession. So if you make a mistake against us, you turn that ball over, it's going to be costly, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you time of possession. It's going to cost you time on the clock. and it's also going to cost you possessions that you could possibly have to put points on the board, opportunities that you could possibly have to score. We're going to cut that down and thus eliminate that and force you to play from behind against our front, our defensive front. Now, if you plan to get them behind against our defensive front, guess what that does to our defensive secondary and our defensive front? It's going to make our defensive front play with their ears pinned back, and now our DBs can do what? Ball hawk.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Eddie Jackson, you're wrong back there. Yeah, and see, it's a movie. It's a movie that was made after a football, right? After the game of football. It's called Any Given Sunday.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
A legitimate thing. Like you've heard that coaches say it in the locker room. Any given Sunday, anything can happen on that football field. This ain't basketball, or this ain't baseball where you got a series in the playoffs. You get one opportunity to move forward. If you go out there and you mess up that opportunity, your season's over with. The other team moves forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen on any given Sunday in a football game. Injuries happen, right? You know, suspensions happen. All kinds of things happen in a football game.
Penalties,
you know what I mean?
The ball could just bounce, you know, the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude fall
exactly.
down on the route.
It's a
Dude
game
just fall
inch.
Down on the route. He just trip up on the route. Boom, interception. Pick six.
Look at Dez Bryant, the catch that, you know, so-called catch. All of these things, this is what happens in football games, and that's why it's so unpredictable. It's more unpredictable than anything, and that's why you can have a team that gets on a hot streak and rolls like that. You don't have to beat a team three or four times to move forward. You beat them one time and you go.
That's it.
We've seen it. Like, the thing about, like, the reason why I was optimistic, and I don't even think the Bears are going to make the playoffs. It's a chance they can.
Yeah,
and I understand why that, because what I was trying to tell people is, like, doing the education during off season, what kind of offensive scheme we're running, what kind of defensive scheme we're running. We've been telling these people since they've been blue in the face, we're going back to the Lovie Smith. It's not necessarily a Tampa 2, but, you know, they don't play Tampa 2 as much as they used to. But right. that style of defense where they fly to the ball, where they exactly. focus on takeaway, they're stripping, punching at the ball, where they're hitting people, they're running all day, they're rotating defensive line, in and out, in and out. It's only a few teams play like that, and I saw a team that plays like that. I don't think they do it as crazy as Flus does it. I think he just kind of he ratchets up the intensity even from when Lovie did it, because he's more of a Marinelli disciple.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the Texans put the clamps to Trey Lance. And I saw one dude, was it Ted Nugent, whatever his name is. He works for the Athletic. He was like, well, thank God the 49ers play the Bears week one, because, you know, because they're the easy. I was like, bro, this team runs the same defensive scheme and we have much better talent.
Much
than
better
the
talent.
The Texans are just playing like that because they're coached well, because Lovie Smith is a hell of a defensive coach.
Right.
And he got those boys playing to the maximum capability. As right. long as you have a defense like that in the NFL, you have running backs like David Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
you have a shot, and you have a special teams unit like Kyle Santos that can kick the ball, the punter Gill, who's a hell of a punter, and a punt returner. Like, we went to the Super Bowl with a team like this.
Yes.
Yeah. With a horrible quarterback.
With
we
Rex
went to
Grossman.
The Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, because we had Thomas Jones as the running back.
Yep.
We had that defense, and we had Devin Hester returning kicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It ain't sexy. The thing about it is everybody's caught up in the fantasy football league.
That's
Dan
it.
Said it. DeVore said it. I was on Adam with him. He said the same thing. And he does fantasy football, right? He said everybody's caught up in fantasy football.
Yep.
And they just don't look at the entire game. They just see, I don't like their wide receivers. They have nobody beside Darnell Mooney.
Facts.
Yeah.
Which
because
is true.
You're looking at the stats from last year. That's all you
Facts.
Do.
Yes. You're looking at the stats from last year. People can't project. They can't look at guys and say, I think that he might be, maybe he can do this in this system. And they don't understand that football is a complementary sport. That's why, so like you said, it can be a bounce of a ball. It can be you did a punt return and Valus Jones takes it to the house.
Yep.
And that was the thing that broke
the game. That could be
it can be Eddie Jackson pick six.
Yep.
Jaquan Brisker pulls strip sacks a person. We've seen this with the Bears. The teams would be driving. We'll see Peanut Tillman rip the ball out. Or like a Briggs, take it up and take it to the house.
Game.
That's going to happen this season,
what's the famous game where Denny Green.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bears was down by 21 points.
Rest in peace.
By 21 points against the Cardinals. And gagged it all away. Within, I think it was like, 8 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
Gagged it away in 8 minutes.
That's all it takes. And I think we got a better quarterback than the Bears, those Lovie teams ever had.
Yes.
You know, so that keeps you in games. They need more talent on offense to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. They do. Justin Fields needs Darnell Mooney. He needs Marvin Harrison Jr. He should have Jackson Smith and Jigba. He needs another tight end to pair with Komet. He probably needs upgrade on offensive line. I'm going to tell you that. He needs all of that. I want my boy to have all of that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering who goes into the season saying, yeah, we're going to suck. We're just going to be bad. Yeah, we're just going to suck. I mean, but, you know, there's no optimism for what you see happening. That's my thing. That's my problem, right? You can be negative. You can say, yeah, we going to struggle. Yeah, the Bears are probably going to have their growing pains, right?
Yeah.
But do you see, and I keep saying this over and over. I don't know how many times I've said it over this offseason. What are you going to see on the football field? Trust your eyes. You're going to see guys play with more passion. You're going to see guys not loafing that actually care about the game. You're going to see guys putting forth maximum effort. You're going to see a better offense. You're going to see hats to the ball on defense, trying to make plays. That's how you gauge the success. Do they buy into what the coach is preaching? That's how you gauge the success.
Yeah, and Jalen Johnson is.
And because Mac is a baseball guy, I'm going to put it like this. If you got a guy that hits an infield and he jogs down the line and doesn't try to beat out the throw, what do people say? He don't care, right? That's what we saw from Bears players last year. We saw guys that didn't care on the football field, that was out for themselves only, and that's it. Now in the preseason, you've seen a difference. You see a different Cole Kmet. I seen good things from Cole Kmet last week. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else? I mean, I know I'm not.
I know he did. Yeah,
I know. Everybody saw Jaquan Brisker all over the field in the first game, right?
Yeah.
I know absolutely. we've seen Jack Sanborn doing his thing out there, right?
Yes, sir. Oh yeah, Jack Sanborn. Woo.
Hey, I called it. About. I called that. I said, look, he coming to take somebody's spot immediately. Yeah.
But that's what we're seeing, and that's what gives you optimism for the future. Not saying they're gonna win the Super Bowl this year, but yeah, they're gonna be competitive, more competitive than they were last year.
I see that right? Foundation being poured, man. You like exactly. Nez building the house. I see that foundation.
You see it.
You see it. If you can't see it, man, I don't know what to tell you. Like that culture's big.
They building it brick by brick, man.
It's always about Jimmy's and Joe's, right? But you got to have the coach to draw up the X's and O's. This is something that, you know, that I've had to evolve on. I was like, oh, about Jimmy's and Joe's, Max. So it is. Yeah. But the coach has to put the Jimmy's and Joe's in the right position. Thanks. Like, I equate it to this. You can ask, if you judge the fish on his ability to climb a mountain, it would spend his entire life thinking it was an idiot. If I asked Shaq to shoot three-pointers to be a stretch five, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. We'd be saying he's trash. Fact. Now, I put him on that block.
A whole different Hall of Fame. Story. Whole Hall different story.
Hall of Fame. So we actually have a coach that's doing that now. We saw it with Nagy. Right. We got a bunch of 4-3 dudes and then had them running 5'9", 4-3 dudes and had them running core routes, get blasted in the back, getting destroyed. They about 160 pounds.
Jump balls.
Right.
Jump balls. You know, Jameer Bird caught that one that won the game. That was like, I don't know how you caught that. That was crazy. But, you know,
in Seattle,
I mean?
Yeah.
You could draw that play up 100 times and he might catch it that one time and that's it. Every other time it would be incomplete. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. Now you have a coach that's doing it the right way. That's where the optimism lies. That's why people are like, yeah, I can see this happening. I can see things turning. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can see it. And it was guys who I was worried about buying in, like Jalen Johnson. And he said he admitted that he bought in.
Yeah.
You watched his interview. He was like, well, what happens if you don't do the hits and you ain't go play? Remember he was starting off second string?
Yep.
He said he didn't buy in right away. We all called it. He bought in. Eddie Jackson? He talks that, oh, it's all about hits. You hear it. And so that was my main issue is like, will these guys buy in? And that was going to determine how the season went. Mm-hmm. If they buy in, it's great. I think that whole thing with Tevin Jennings was him about buying in.
Yeah, I think so too. You know,
buy in.
Yeah. And now look at him. Now look at him. He's the starting right guard.
Yeah.
And I think with that Tevin Jennings thing, I think he felt like, look, the money is in left tackle. in the NFL, right? That's where the biggest contract on the offensive line goes. So when he got drafted, you're thinking, oh, I'm about to go be a left tackle. I'm about to make this bread. I'm about to be, you know what I mean? And he was excited. Then all of a sudden, that excitement and that enthusiasm waned away. And it's because, man, I'm not on the left side. I'm on the right side now. Oh, dang, they done moved me inside. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you can still make money on the inside.
Ask Quentin Nelson.
Ask Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson, the highest paid, one of the highest paid, not guards, highest paid linemen in the league.
And that's because he's nasty. That's because he's nasty. And that's a trait. That's a trait. That's an equality that Tevin Jenkins has. He's nasty. He can be like that. He can be that type of guy.
Yeah, you just run David Montgomery behind him. Right on that right. Oh, God. Yeah. Dude, come on. Him and Big Larry Borm. You got 2'6", 7", 320-pound athletic ass right dudes.
On the right side.
And he finishing blocks.
You see him. I always have to rewind. I always have to rewind when I watch them block because I'm like, where's Tevin Jenkins? He's on top of somebody like freaking
just mauling him. Like a big ass bear just mauling him. Like, wow. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. So that's the thing, bro. We just like the direction that the Bears are. We don't think they arrived at the destination. You can like you going to the beach, bro. You know you're going to the beach and you got the window down, you playing some twos, you got the little ocean breeze hitting you. That's how you feel. You ain't at the beach yet, but you know you heading to the beach.
Yeah. Headed there.
You got that good feeling.
You bumping this Pac in the background, never had a friend like me.
You're like, yeah, man, it's about to be a good day. I got the cooler in the back. Ooh. You know, that's all it is, man.
About to have some fun.
We about to have some fun, man. We ain't going to be the doormats, you know.
At all.
And I think all of us agree that when it happened, we should have never fired Lovey.
Eh.
Ten assists, bro.
Nah, you shouldn't have fired Lovey.
I don't think you should fire him. He had his issues.
I don't think he should. But, you know, I definitely think I'm kind of in the middle on that. Because at the time, he did get stale, number one. Number two, your team started out 7-1 and finished 10-6. That's a problem. That means somewhere along the lines, a message was lost, or they, you know, nobody got hurt. You know what I'm saying? We didn't lose Cuddy like we did the year before or anything like that. They was balling. You know what I'm saying? They started out 7-1, finished 10-6. More so than that, you know, too many times. We were stuck in our ways, you know what I'm saying, far as philosophy, run the ball. Well, you got to throw the ball sometimes too, you know what I'm saying? We was getting too predictable, and we knew at some point in time we were kind of handcuffed with Jay as our quarterback, man, because if he was going, especially against the Packers, if he was going anything more than 10 yards, that's a 50-50 ball. It could be caught or it could be picked off. And I'm being dead serious, you know what I'm saying? It was a 50-50 ball. It was like, damn, your stomach went in your nutsack. When every time he dropped back to pass deep, it was like, okay. Ooh.
Remember what Charles Woodson said?
Yeah.
Charles Woodson said, hey, they got Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler going to give you a few.
Yeah, they, gonna like, give they you got a few. Cutler. That's why. You know? Beforehand, we was beating the Packers' ass, and the only reason we was beating their ass is because Greg Olsen was a serious mismatch for them. They had nobody that could cover him. And then Martz brought his dumbass there.
Go on, Martz.
We got to wait. And see, now you finna get the difference between, you know, somebody we respect in King Mac and somebody we disrespect.
Yeah.
Straight up in Mike Martz. Let's go in on this one.
This idiot, dumb motherfucker, he comes to Chicago and gets rid of our Hall of Fame fucking tight end, right? Because he's going in the Hall of Fame. He's probably going to go as a Panther and not a Bear. Yeah.
He said he didn't need tight ends for his system, right?
Yeah. And then go pick up Malamua. That sorry motherfucker. Like, Doug, is you serious? Are you serious right now? And you got rid of our Hall of Fame tight end. Because, I mean, Greg Olsen was a matchup nightmare for linebackers. Strong safeties. Anybody.
Linebackers.
We understand that our wide receiving core was shit, but the fact that we had Greg Olsen incorporated into that made us palatable. Okay, made us
Greg
respectable.
Olsen and Matt Forte.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? And then you threw
on the go route.
Yeah, and then you sent Hester out there to do his little freaky deaky every now and then. You had Devin Aroma Shadu to do his little do every now and then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? These were sort. I wouldn't even say serviceable. These were This was shit at the wide receiver position. Don't get me wrong.
Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox was dope before injury. Pre-injury. You know what I'm saying? Johnny Knox was dope. He had a rocket in his ass. You know what I'm saying? Jetpack. Dude was nice. But again, he was undersized too.
Yeah.
You know, him and Devin Hester, they both were burners. Knox and Hester was out there. Don't get me wrong. They both was burners, and Johnny would do his thing. Don't get me wrong. Johnny was putting in work. But at the same time, you know, imagine if we could have kept Greg Olsen and then turned around and had the likes of Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall out there with Matt Forte. Hoo-wee! Hey, but we had Martellus Bennett, too. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we talking during the Martz era. And then Mike Martz goes on, as he hasn't been to Chicago, Hallis Hall, or anywhere else since we booted his ass up out of Lake Forest. Since he got booted out of Lake Forest, he hasn't been back since. He hasn't looked at the Bears roster or anything. He may have called a few games on NFL Fox, which were shit. He may have called a few games or whatever, whatnot. But notice he hasn't gotten another offensive coaching job since. It's because your shit is prehistoric and it don't fucking work. Okay? You're hanging your hat and everything on that 1998-99 fucking season with the St. Louis Rams. You're hanging your whole career on that. And people figured that shit out. Get physical with the receivers. Don't let them run around. People figured it out. You throw off their time in and get to the quarterback, they ass is toast. And it took Bill Belichick to do that. Get physical. You got to get physical with the wide receivers at the line. Beat their ass up within 5 yards. Throw off their time and they can't do nothing. Okay, fine. And then once they figured you out, Martz, you kind of was in the likes of Mark Trestman, dead in the water. They caught on to your shit, and now you're dead in the water. You can't make adjustments.
He
therefore,
had a few Hall of Famers to help him at that.
Absolutely,
he had a couple of Hall of Fame wide receivers:
Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt,
Orlando Pace.
Yeah, you know, you had something
in
the works.
With Orlando Pace, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you had something in the works. And then he brought old-ass Orlando Pace to Chicago. Like, that was going to fix something. Oh, my God. That motherfucker was just like, look, I'm just here to get paid. I ain't blocking shit. Let Cutler get killed. That's how Jamarcus Webb got into the ordeal. Remember him?
Yeah.
That's how he ended up starting.
Mason, baby.
You know what I'm saying? And then it went from J. Webb to, you know, El Matador. Charles Leno. El Matador. And people say, oh, well, he's doing good out there in Washington. He got his quarterback knocked out for the season in Washington. Okay? It was him. It was his man. Okay? We couldn't afford that with Justin Fields, all right? That's why we got El Matador the hell up out of here. Facts. But Mike Martz.
Seventh rounder. He's a seventh rounder, and he played so well for a seventh. I don't care where he was drafted.
Facts.
Can you play or can you not play?
Exactly.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Remember,
it
was.
Don't matter. I don't care.
It was time. I would break down film.
This rounder.
I would break down film and show you where Charles Leno would block not a soul and would just be standing there and turning around in a circle looking like, damn. Oh, damn. Run. Run. He's just standing there. It was a game. It was a game, in fact, where they played against the Houston Texans, where they was in Chicago and Leno was there, and his fat ass stood up and blocked no one, and just turned around and looked in the backfield like, oh damn, I was supposed to pick that up.
It was that Rashard Coward block right there.
Oh my God, Rashard. and then what made it worse is that they lined them two up together. Yeah. On the same side. Yeah. On the same side. It made me think of how Jamie Foxx was on any given Sunday when he went back in the huddle, was like, if you ain't gonna block, get the hell out the way. I'll do it myself.
Bro, they tried to put Coward all over the line. He's a right guard, left guard. They even put him at right tackle. Remember that?
Yeah, man. It was ridiculous.
He played right tackle in the NFL game, bro.
That's like, you know, with the Bears, and what people don't understand it for why Matt Nagy should be fired, right? That's like you going to get somebody who's like a jazz or tap dance aficionado, right? That's like going to get fucking Gregory Hines to coach. That's like going to get Gregory Hines that does tap and jazz and ballet and all that shit, right? That's like you go get Gregory Hines, bro. You tell this motherfucker, all right, you gonna play at right guard. You gonna play left guard. Put your shit on. Come on. Put that shit on. You know what I'm saying? Straight up, AB reference. Put that shit on. Put your shit on and get out here and get on the line. And then I want you to block. What do you expect to happen there? What do you expect to happen there?
He's never played offensive line in his career. That's the other part.
Right. And that's why I was making that reference. You went and got somebody who never done this to protect your quarterback. Are you serious? And this is why Matt Nagy is jobless today. Well, it's not a head coach today. He has a job as going to get Andy Reid's burgers and go get his
burger fetcher.
His cholesterol meds and shit, because you know he can't eat too many cheeseburgers. That shit almost stroked him out last year. He almost stroked out last year. So, you know. And getting him a Diet Cola. Getting him a Diet Cola with it and shit. A liter
of cola.
Here you go. Diet Cola as you ordered.
Extra large. Thank you, Matt.
Extra large Diet Cola with your two double bacon Yotto cheeseburgers.
Eric Bieniemy's calling him is with the play sheet. So what is Maggie doing? I saw him holding the ball on the side of the.
Just standing around. Yeah. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
He ain't doing much of nothing over there, bro.
Not a damn thing.
Same thing he was doing before.
Don't need a quarterback coach.
At all.
At all. So what's your job, bro? Yeah, Mike Martz, man. Like the famous Jay Cutler thing that was caught on.
Tell Martz, fuck you.
Yeah. That's how we feel about Martz. All the homies hate Martz. Who even found Mike Martz? Like, are people like, who the fuck is like even looking for Mike Martz? Who said, you know what? Let me go interview Mike Martz. You go interview John Shute. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Go. Like, who cares who Mike Martz has? Who's the dude that came from Illinois? I can't think of his name. He's trash too. Offensive coordinator for the Bears.
Oh my God, yeah. Ron Turner.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Let's go ask him his opinion. Man, fuck your opinion. Nobody give a fuck about your opinion.
Right. Facts.
So I don't know. And that's the thing, bro. It's like who are asking these people an opinion? Where are they going? Look, why did you care what Mike Martz has to say about the Bears? You know, who gives a shit? You know, fuck Mike Martz. You got something to say about Mike Martz, then?
Man, I mean, I don't have much to say. Y'all killed him. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, with that. I mean, he's just a clown, bro. You can tell his bitterness too, and that's what kills me about these people that come up and they want to say something about the Bears or whatever. Man, give me something tangible, bro. Don't just get up there and just say a bunch of negativity, you know, just because you're mad about your tenure with Chicago and how you're not the coach or whatever. Maybe he thought that he would get a head coaching job in Chicago or something, you know. But that's not the case. We moved on from you. It is what it is, man. Quit being bitter about it.
Yeah, man, whatever. So we got the last preseason game coming up. Roquan Smith is back in the fold. And they said they're going to play the starters. But Dan called St. Omni Roquan's imaginary friend on the Big and Bright Show.
The funny thing about it is there's a video out. There's a video out right now with Justin and Mooney, and they sitting on the golf cart, and then Montgomery comes in, and you can hear Mooney in the background go, Roquan, as he's smiling or whatever. But you know, it's so funny is that. Like we told y'all, like, bro, if you think they ain't clowning Roquan behind all his stints and shenanigans, come on, man. Be for real. Because they are. Trust and believe with this same Omni.
Hakeem Hicks used to clown him on Instagram.
Yeah.
They were always.
Yeah, be putting it like that one with the sunflower and all that. He's just in there cheesing. And then he's just clowning him, man. You see Mooney in the background, like, pushing his teeth, you know, pushing his smile bigger and everything, and he pointing at his teeth, and he's like, Roquan, and he pointing at his teeth and cheesing and smiling like, man, come on now. Straight up, that's facts. That's facts all day. That was funny as hell.
What you say? He like, I play football, coach.
I football coach. Yeah, Roquan, you football. For God's sake, somebody wipes his mouth, will ya? Slobbing all over the place.
As long as you're out there hitting people, we great.
You see ball, get ball, Roquan. I football? Yeah, son. Yeah.
Love Bobby God. Boucher, man. They said he smacked somebody the other day. So
Roquan?
Yeah, he hit him. Like when they had pads on. So he He was out there doing his thing.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you know.
Oh, he can play football.
Oh yeah. Most of the tards can, man.
You know what I'm saying? You know, they got that superhuman.
That's
strength.
What said Bobby Boucher, dude.
Yeah, man. Hey. Sidebar. Have y'all watched Mike on Hulu?
Nah, I saw some pictures and it looked horrible.
It's not, bro. It's not.
But the
you
way
know?
They portrayed him, it does.
That's the killing part. Not that I wouldn't say that part where he got on the white suit and shit. He looked more like Seal than Tyson.
Yeah, that picture.
But seriously, he got his mannerisms down, how he does with his hands and everything else to being shy. You know what I'm saying? I never knew Mike Tyson was bullied growing up and they beat the shit out of him every day. I never knew that. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of the he just one day, kids, he was fat. You know what I'm saying? They used to make fun of him and just whoop his ass every day. You know what I'm saying? And he would never fight back until one day somebody fucked with him. And, you know, one of the kids killed his pigeon. It was an older kid, killed his pigeon. And then he snapped. And then ever since then, he's just been known for knocking motherfuckers out, beating people ass. And they fucked with his bird. You know what I'm saying?
That was it.
That was it. And they created a monster after that. You know? And shit, he was getting locked up since he was 10 years old.
Yeah, I saw a thing where you guy from the Wu-Tang Clan said Mike Tyson robbed his mom.
Damn.
He's like, yeah, I ran into Tyson. I was like, hey, man, you don't remember this when you were short. You robbed my mom. You snatched the groceries and ran off. I was a kid. So, yeah, he said Mike Tyson was wild, man. Mike Tyson was a crazy dude.
That's crazy.
That's a crazy story. Yeah, you can look it up. I think he was on
Brad, I gotta look that up.
I think
that up.
You guys said, yeah, Mike Tyson robbed my mom. Dude, I was a kid. That was crazy. He ended up being a crazy. Yeah.
The crazy thing about it is, at the age of 14, how the size Tyson was when he won the World Heavyweight Championship. He was that size when he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
How fucking crazy is that?
That's why he was good with it. I mean,
naturally, just cock strong.
You don't see. You know, because when he won it, what was he? How old was he when he won it?
20. 20.
You know, so that means, you know, coming up the ranks, he was 18, 19, knocking out grown men.
Yeah. 14 knocking out grown men, because yeah, they put him in a little amateur thing to start his professional career. And folks, I understand that we getting sidebar from the Bears, but just take this in for a minute. Mike Tyson was fighting professionally every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a minute. Every 2 weeks he was having a professional fight. Do you know how fucking crazy that is?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's wild, bro.
And none of his fights was going past the first round. This is a child.
Fight every 2 weeks.
This is a child. Knocking out grown ass men every 2 weeks. In the first round. Bruh. The worst tragedy in sports history is him getting his career robbed from him going to prison. He was never the same fighter after that.
Nah. He was good, but not how he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the youngsters, they still on YouTube. You can just look up Mike Tyson knockouts. It's crazy. So just Google, go to YouTube. Mike Tyson, now it's going to be like 20, 30 minutes of him just knocking people out, dude. You know what I mean? So
vicious knockouts, too.
He was putting cats to bed.
Yeah.
They would get knocked out. I didn't even know they were knocked out. They'd still be standing there, delay reaction, and just drop. just drop.
Drilling these cats, man. Like, damn.
Before they hit the canvas.
Speaking of sleep, a lot of these Bears fans need to be put to sleep. No, seriously.
You're euthanizing people.
Yes, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm passing out dirt naps. All right. I'm passing out dirt naps today. Cause man, I see my Twitter going ablaze over fucking memes. Are y'all serious right now?
Oh yeah. Man, they're going crazy over memes, bro.
Over memes. Are y'all serious right now?
This is why I'm hot. What's that dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I'm
memes.
Hot.
Yeah.
This is why I'm hot.
Like, y'all tripping. Okay, let me break this down to y'all, okay? The boy can't get open at all. He sucks. Darnell Mims sucks. Okay. He's not good at Denzel. Oh, see how fucking sorry he is? I can't even remember his first name. That's how ass he is.
Bro, he had a 36% catch rate last year. People are like, you can't use catch rate. He's a wide receiver. What the hell am I supposed to
do? What are we grading him off of? Ability? Oh, you have ability.
He's athletic. Okay. So no, is Carl Lewis. Fucking, I ain't putting his ass at wide out.
They all fucking athletic. If you made it to the NFL, you athletic. If you made it to the Division One, you athletic.
You athletic.
All right? They all fucking athletic.
If you made it to Division Three, you athletic.
God damn. They all athletic. All right? At some fucking point in time. But this is the crazy thing about it, is that people fall in love with other people's scraps. And far few in between, so many Bears fans fall in love with the shit other teams don't want. It's just a common theme. You all are fucking Oscar the Grouches. You love trash. Admit it. Embrace it. All right? Just because he didn't work for them motherfuckers. What make you think he gonna work with us?
This is the knock on Mims. They said, you said it, he can't run routes. He can't get separation.
This is Anthony Miller 2.0, folks.
He's a contested catch guy who doesn't catch the football because he has a low catch rate. So if you're a contested catch guy, you should catch damn near everything I throw to you, even if it's a bad ball.
Damn
so
right.
That's your strength. Your strength is to make contested catches, and you can't even make a goddamn catch. So I don't want that. And then, two, they said he has poor work practice habits. That's what Saylor said.
Poor work ethic.
So I look at this stuff, bro. I ain't just making this shit up. Like, when I see this and I see people, I go look at it. I go look at what he does on tape, and I see a guy who can't get separation, a guy who runs rounded out fast routes. That's what I mean when I'm talking about rounded out right. You're supposed to run a slant, supposed to make like you're supposed to go a field and stick your fucking foot in the ground and cut up 45 degrees. No, he like runs that shit just kind of like he's running around the corner of a building. That ain't how you run the goddamn route.
You're not running around the track.
Curving off the slant and shit.
Curving off the slant and shit. Like, I don't know if he's running the curl or dig. I don't know what the hell he's running. And he can't catch the goddamn football. He's dropping the football. And then he doesn't practice. So you want to put a dude who don't practice hard on the Chicago Bears with Matt Eberflus. That ain't no cut it, bro.
We had enough of that shit the last 2 years.
See, this is the problem that I have with Bears fans. Some of the ones that, you know, you could, let's say you want Denzel Mims, okay? I'm not gonna poo-poo on that, right?
Yeah.
You want him, you feel like, fine. Hey, okay, he can do something. But this is the take that gets me. Put Denzel Mims on this team and he's better than any wide receiver we got.
Exactly.
I can't, now when you say that, now I'm done listening. And now you've exposed yourself as being an idiot because, come on, bro. Come on.
Yeah, like, the whole thing, I was like, okay, if he gets cut and they want to give him a flyer, fine. Okay. I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to see him be arrogant like that. No, I'm fine with that. If you never know. He might can get coached up. He probably goes to the practice squad. Luke Getsy gets his hands on him. But come on, man.
You going to tell me he the best on the roster now?
Hell no.
He's the guy? He's about to be our, you know,
the only person he has more production than on our entire wide receiver core is Velus Jones Jr., and that's because he's a rookie. Dante Pettis has produced more in the NFL. Tajae Sharpe has produced more. David Moore, Equanimeous St. Brown, N'Keal Harry, all these guys have produced better than this guy. So I don't know what the standard is for this guy is better than that guy. You know, no, you got to produce it. Your ass don't produce, you ain't better. Now, if you said, hey, let's go sign Will Fuller, I'll say, yeah, he has injury history, but goddamn, he's playing good football.
And that motherfucker's a burner.
You got an argument, but not Denzel Mims. No. Yeah. And then another thing, the Jets said he doesn't fit the system. This is how you know you're a student of the game. He doesn't fit the system. Well, what system do the Jets run? You know who that offensive coordinator is? His last name is LaFleur.
Yep, same shit the Bears run.
East Coast Sky.
Same shit the Bears run.
The same shit. So if he doesn't fit their system,
he ain't gonna fit ours. Dumb motherfuckers. You bring up fucking Mims. When I hear that name, I'm like,
get the fuck out of here.
You serious? Get out of here with that shit.
I hear this.
This is why I'm hot. Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, so It's crazy. I think we lost Dan.
We lost Dan.
Yeah. I think we lost Dan. Let me see. Yeah, we lost Dan.
Are you recording it though? We still good.
Yeah. He took off. It's all good though.
Okay.
So yeah, we can wrap it up since we lost Dan, man. You know, I mean, you got a trash tweet of the week.
Oh man, my trash tweet of the week is still the same. It's Dan Orlovsky, bro. He's saying Jordan Love was playing.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I don't want to, like, because he's a brother quarterback, and I got love for the brother quarterbacks, but the dude he's not that good, man. I'm sorry, bro. I'm just being honest, bro. And Trey Lance is gonna have a hard time week one. I'm just being real.
Yeah,
I think he's better than Love, though.
Yeah, he's better than Love, but I don't, you know, I think Trey Lance, he'll come into his own next season. You know, he'll have flashes this season, but he's going to struggle a lot this season. And we going to bust that ass come week one, so I ain't worried about that at all. But, you know, we going to do what we got to do, and we going to take care of business. My trash tweet came from the Samoan cat. What's his name, bro? I can't even think of his name, but he always negative as hell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Samir, yeah.
Yeah, Samir, you know, the Samoan cat, man. I muted his ass. He is so fucking negative, bro. Like, man, get the fuck out of here. I ain't got time for that shit. You know, you can say, like I told you. You can say the sky is blue.
That's like the Polynesian brothers, man.
Nah.
They usually positive.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Talofa to all my Samoan brothers. I hung out with them heavy in the military. Yeah, they usually are positive.
Yeah.
Brothers.
You know, I didn't understand that shit. It was like, all right, bro, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I had muted his ass. You know, he was the one beating the table for Mims and shit. I'm like, bro, you smoke, you huffing Glade. Seriously, yeah. But whatever. So
you know what, bro? As we wrap up, I think what it is, a lot of it is, and we talked about this a little earlier with Ryan Pace, and I think some people, they like that Ryan Pace approach, and whatever Ryan Pace do, bro, they gonna go to opposite.
Yep.
You know, he ain't gonna spend bigger. We need to spend bigger free agent. We gonna focus on his Dan right here. Yo, what's up, Dan? Yeah, look, you just went off.
Oh, that's all good. We in.
Yeah, it's all good. We about to wrap it up, bro. All right. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have just called the line. We could have patched him in. If he would have called me, I could have patched him in.
Yeah, so yeah, he said it just paused and uploaded. You know, internet be freaky deaky, bro. You know, man. So that's all I got, bro.
That's all I got, man.
So man, until next time, we out.
And on top of that, shut the fuck up. Peace.